Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, little potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola, fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. Or do I? Today we are trying something different. Me and my compadre, my BFF in comedy and in life, Jordan Carlos, are going to try a new series called What'd You Eat? A monthly series where we just talk about what we had for the last week, what came up food-wise, restaurant-wise, at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, at the coffee shop, wherever. And we just go through it with each other like the two chums that we are. What do you think, JC?
I think it's a great idea, chum. I'm happy to chum the waters with you, buddy. I love that. What are you, 1925? Why do you say chum? I like it. I like it. It's cute. Yeah, let's do it, chum.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah, buddy. Let's talk about it. Yeah. How about you and I talk about all the shanks and all the chops we had down on old Doya Street? Eh? Oh, my God. Meet me at Delmonico's. Hey, hoots canoe.
Oh, 86. My God. Right away, you made me think of Keen's yes. Chop House, which I think is one of the oldest steakhouses in New York. That is one of the only places in America that you can get a mutton chop. And it is delicioso. And it's just such a cute, it's such a cool place. They have like old pipes hanging from the ceiling. It's great.
I love it. Old asbestos just leaking into your food, things like that. It's just so authentic. Like, give me $30. Give me $30 for this mutton chop, you son of a gun. You just wish for better times when the milkman delivered and women knew their place. Oh, boy. I kid. Where is this place? I want to know because I want to add it to my list of places to go.
It's great. It's like if you're ever in like the middle of Midtown with nothing to do, Keen's Chop House. I think it's somewhere.
Oh,
it's like
I've been to Keen's.
Yeah, it's like 40th Street or something.
I've been to Keen's. I love Keen's. They have such hostility to vegetables. I love any chop house. Like, can I get some greens? Sure. But let me slather it in all the cream I could possibly manage. Just drowning in cream. It's like the vegetables will kill you, man. Or just like they'll give you just like steamed broccoli that you're not going to eat. You're just like, oh, God, what is this?
Actually, in terms of, well, let's start off what'd you eat with what I ate. One of the meals I had this week, I actually went with a couple of buddies to Lowry's Prime Rib in L.A., which is a prime rib restaurant, yeah, that caters to like hospice patients, I believe. Like, they're on hospice and they're like, you want one last meal? And they're like, take me to Lowry's. And they just wheel all these old people into Lowry's.
Wait a minute. You mean as in Lowry's seasoned salt?
Yes, exactly. So it actually comes from a restaurant called Lowry's. It's like a big sort of a beautiful room, like a steakhouse-y type thing.
Okay.
But all they serve is prime rib. At least that's what they're known for.
What in the Roscoe?
And they got very, very famous for their salt. Their seasoned salt. And that is what you've heard of, yeah.
You see where I'm going with this, right?
No.
What are you, a white, doing at this place? That's definitely in Crenshaw. That's definitely in Inglewood. You're not giving any context. You know good and goddamn well. First of all, only black folks have Lowry's seasoned salt in their pantry. Okay. And I didn't know that you did this. I'm jealous because I've never been and I didn't know that. But I definitely have Lowry's seasoned salt in my pantry. Any self-respecting black person, bourgeois or otherwise, has Lowry's season salt at all times. Do you understand?
Well, get ready for a plot twist, my friend, because there was nary a black man or woman what? In this restaurant. It what? Simply caters to old white people. I wonder if the salt is like the Get Out version of Lowry's. They're like, we need to somehow get into the hands of the blacks. No, there were no black people there. There were negative black people there. I would say.
What do you mean negative black people? What is that supposed to be? Clarence Thomas was there? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm really surprised by that. I'm really surprised by that because Lowry's has a story tradition. It's almost like it's like having Arm & Hammer, buddy, in your house. You know, it's like,
wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, you gotta have it. You gotta have it.
It's so funny because I heard of the restaurant before hearing about the salt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would.
But anyway, we went here and it's a very kitschy place in LA. It's like a super kitschy place. It's where you take your grandparents for their whatever.
Sweet.
You know, sweet. Their final meal. And
the final meal before they're executed? What are you talking about?
Yes. You take your grandpa who's on death row. But we wanted to go, and I insisted. I was like, guys, it's got to be great. Let's go. It's going to be a fun. And I brought a group of, like, there was a very famous food writer amongst us. Like, we were rolling in deep. And I cannot express how awful this meal was. And I'm not saying this as a pretentious, like, oh, I'm an aged A5 Wagyu. It has to be this. I went here wanting to love it. I went wanting to love it. Like you'd go into a Dave & Buster's, like wanting to love it. Like I wasn't there with my fancy food hat on. I was there for like my experience. I wanted the full experience. They have this big Zeppelin the steel Zeppelin. They like roll around and they open it and it has the enormous prime rib and they just cut off parts of it.
Oh, yeah. Those things. It looks like the like a mini Hindenburg. About to explode.
And let me tell you, I would have rather have eaten the charred remains inside the actual Hindenburg than the steak that they served us.
Oh my God. The humanity. Dude,
this thing was like a piece of grizzle. This was the funniest part. So they roll it around and there's a guy who's like, who's like not a chef. He's just a cutter. He's there to cut the thing. But he's wearing like a full-on cartoonish chef's uniform with a like gold medal. Like a gold medal around his neck.
He's proud of himself.
Like he got some award. Yeah. I don't know what award it is.
Back in the day.
And they come over and it has this humongous prime rib on its side. So it's like, you know, vertical. And they ask, like, what do you want yours? And I'm like, medium rare? Okay. He slices a piece. What do you want yours? Rare? Okay. Slices the next piece. What about you? Medium well? Okay. Slices the next. Like, they're all the same temperature. He's just cutting down the rib. And everything was so gristly and gross. Yeah. It 100% was not prime beef. I swear to you, it was not. It was choice at best. The vegetables, the salads, the sides, nothing was good.
Iceberg.
Nothing was good. It was so bad that my friend and yours, Mark Priceman, literally stole the fucking Priceman. Decanter. He stole the decanter because he thought, we've got so robbed that I need to rob the bank.
Oh, I love that.
Larry's, if you're wondering what happened to that decanter, Mark Priceman has it.
Mark Priceman has it. So many questions, so many follow-ups. First of all, this seems like the kind of place that is not centrally located in Hollywood. It feels like I'm getting a Rancho Cucamonga vibe. I'm getting like a Fullerton, California. I'm getting
Simi Valley. La Cienega, Beverly Hills. Everything that you think about this place is wrong, Jordan. I'm telling you.
I love it.
The place doesn't make sense in the universe.
I like it because if the meal is so bad, let's say I'm at death's door. I'm stage 4. Hmm. You know, full blown cancer riddling my body like Swiss cheese.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I eat this shit, then I'm like, you know what? If I eat this terrible meal, I'm like, yeah, I could die now because I've done food and food sucks and I won't miss it. And it also makes me think about last meals. I think if Danadude ever got, first of all, you'd be wrongly convicted for something that you didn't do. Okay, but if you were ever convicted, for murder one in the state of whatever, California, or wherever they had the capital punishment, I think you're the only person on death row that would ask for substitutions. Like on a meal, their last meal.
Yeah. Is there a caviar supplement? Turn off the electricity. It's going to take another few hours.
I'd like to do the tasting menu, please. I really would like to do the tasting menu if I'm going to do this. Oh, my God. If not, that counts as cruel and unusual punishment. If I don't have the chef's menu, thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
But it's funny because I had an event in Vail a couple days later where the food writer, Paul Feinstein,
yes,
who was at the table, was the person interviewing me. Yeah. And we had this talk and he was talking about how my book is like, the subtitle of my book is How I Let Food Become My Life Navigator. Ooh. And how maybe that's a dumb way to live.
Yeah.
And he was like, Dan, I know you and you still are insane about food. And like, you're not taking your own advice. And my whole thing was like, look, we had that meal at Larry's last week, and it was probably the worst meal I've had in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it was probably the most fun I've had at a meal in forever, because we had so much fun bonding over the fact of how bad this meal was, and we were with amazing friends. You know,
wow.
The whole thing was like, it's called breaking bread. It's not called breaking, you know, wild yeast, sorghum, single ferment, you know, sourdough. So I was going back to the whole thing of like, the food should be secondary to the company and to the camaraderie,
right,
that the meal brings around.
So it's almost like sometimes you can bomb, but in a good way. Like it can be, yes, a great bomb. Like one of the best bombs ever was Bill Burr bombing in front of a Philadelphia audience, where he just rants and it's priceless. He just keeps going and he doesn't care, and he knows that they hate him and he hates them back. And it's actually great on so many other meta levels. So if you're talking about companions, conversation, experience, and almost like foxhole friends, where it's like, remember that horrible thing that we did that we will never do again? And you drive by it and you're like, Lowry's, my God. You know, like,
yeah,
every time,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to have a couple of good meals to get it like out of your system, right?
It's so good.
Oh, God. That's great, dude. I love that for you.
Jordan Carlos,
mm-hmm.
What about you? What did you eat?
What did I eat? Good question.
Calling it what did you eat or what'd you eat?
I think it's what'd you eat.
Yeah.
What'd you eat?
Try that again.
Yeah.
What'd you eat? And hey, Donnie, you don't have to edit this out. People should know how the sausage is made.
That's right. All right. So what'd you eat? Here's what I ate. I was down in Chinatown on Doyer Street. Doyer Street is one of the only streets in New York City that does this kind of like odd S curve. And it's crooked. There's no cars that go down it. It's weird. I like Chinatown.
It looks like one of those, like the Chinese dragons, the New Year's dragons. It actually looks like it.
Okay. I'm not gonna yes and that. but my daughter, who's a lot like her mother, and reads the New Yorker back to back, side to side, and is all of 11 years old, and is like, Dad, have you read about the faceless masses in China? And I'm like, okay, kid, just read highlights, please. All right. Just for God's sakes, what happened? Can we get this kid a highlights fucking subscription? So she reads about this place called Cafe Mabu. And so I'm kind of like, all right. And she wants to go there for her birthday. So we're like, okay, what baby girl wants, we go. We go. And it is like, it is a Hong Kong like fever dream explosion in your face of,
wow,
of it's ornamental. It's larger. The plates are larger than life. It's drunken noodles, but it's also like, hey man, you want pancakes? We got those too. Like, it's just like so dizzying and nuts. I felt like I was in a pinball machine, but it's good, man. It's really good. And there's like this bear tea that you can get where it's just like, hey man, you like to get cranked on sugar with your kids? Here you go. And I was like, do you have any alcohol? They're like, nah, man, you're just going to have to experience this raw.
Wait, was it like, it was a super sugary tea?
Dude, it was a super sugary tea. I literally just like I pissed out a sugar cane. It was like so bad. It was so it was very refined sugar. It had been to finishing school. It was like it was mostly sugar and some tea. The bathroom was in a refrigerator. It was like no one would believe you.
What?
Dude, I highly recommend Cafe Mabu on Doyer Street. I have to give the shouts. It's not only like cray cray in the banana, but it really delivers. It's very good food. It's so insane, but it's really good food. And it's pretty affordable. And since New Yorkers, I'm with my like married into New York family. They're like, they talk a mile a minute, like we're on the fucking floor of the New York Stock Exchange. They're just like, are you going to eat that? Are you going to get that? What are we going to get? The bok choy? It's their speed. It's like eating with Muppets. It worked. It was fine.
What does the place look like? Is it like a dim sum type place? Are there big tables, like banquet style with that thing in the middle that rotates?
No, hell no. It's not. It's just I don't know. I don't ask questions. I don't know what permits were allowed and what weren't, but it's just like, it is like, it's almost like anime exploded. It's animalicious. It's so crazy. It's Sailor Moon. It's like, it's Studio Ghibli. Like, I thought Totoro was going to fucking serve us, dude. It was nuts, dude. I was like, I did not take an edible. This is incredible. This is like,
wow.
It was a living edible. It was a restaurant.
Like a Murakami yes. painting come to life?
Yes. Yes. It was like, your dinner is ready.
With no alcohol. They're like, nope, only uppers.
Uppers only. Now, at the other end of Doyer Street, which is kind of crazy because my daughter wanted to go there, there's a place called Chinese Tuxedo where, crazily enough, Ronnie Chang had done a special, a latest special on Netflix, and we went there. Now, that place is really cool. I love it. It's not one of those kind of places that I've talked about before where it's like Asian inspired. No, it's really run by Chinese American folks that are from the neighborhood, but it's a little elevated. But what I like about it is it's very much like, remember Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in the beginning when Indiana Jones is like in this kind of Hong Kong nightclub or whatever?
Uh-huh.
So like that could have happened at any time. That could have broken out at any time. And I was kind of hoping for it. But it was like it was people dressed to the nines. It was like it's just a really good dining, like high fashion, elegant Chinese experience. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, it's like I was like, love fuck, that's good. Oh, so I went there. JC scored there, and then the final place, because you got to have two locations on a date, not three or four, but two locations on a date.
Oh God! Wow, we're doing inside jokes of Dan's dating life, everyone. Oh my God! DM me for details.
Yeah, hit me in the footnotes. So like. I think there's something lost that's coming back, and I wanted to talk about this.
Wait, hold on. Before you transition.
Please, 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 please.
Can I go on a tangent, on a tangent off of what you just said? So I actually, it's funny, like I'm with you. The classic, you know, the classic fancy, love, big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Newfangled hipster fancy, I'm having some issues with, especially when they take a culture that is not necessarily fancified. Where am I going with this? Ask me what I ate.
What'd you eat?
Well, last week when I was in New York City, I went to a restaurant with my parents and my brother called Bangkok Supper Club. It's the hottest new restaurant in New York. Everyone's going crazy for it.
Yeah.
Pete Wells gave it like 3 stars or something. Like everyone's going nuts about this place. I did make a reservation, but they did the old, we have 2 tables, one at 5 o'clock, and one at 1 in the morning. And I was like, I had a comedy show, so I was like, we'll do the early one. So 5 o'clock.
Oh,
now,
no.
Okay, I get there at 4:55.
Okay.
Jordan and Carlos, it was like 16 degrees outside. Yeah. Like it's frigidly cold. And I'm standing outside at 4:55,
right?
And these fuck faces are like getting ready to open the door. And there's a big window there. You can see the host and the hostess in their little section doing nothing. I'm staring at them because there's like a vestibule in the front. They could have let me in. I'm freezing. Now, it's nuts how cold it
is. Wait, hold on. Was it a vestibule or a porte cochere?
It was a...
Was it an interior? Anteroom?
Sorry.
A vestibule?
I didn't go to Brown. I only went to Johns Hopkins. I didn't go to fucking Brown, where they taught you these things.
Dude, that's the Harvard of Baltimore, and you know it. All right, go ahead. Baltimore, of course, is the Paris of Maryland.
Oh my god, I'm dying. Anyway,
yes.
I'm fucking staring at these assholes for 5 minutes, and I'm like,
yes.
If my parents show up, I'm not going to let them stand outside in the cold while fucking Trust Fundy 1 and 2 are standing, you know. So finally, 5 o'clock rolls around, and they open the door. And it's like me and a couple people waiting outside. And they're like, welcome to the Bangkok Supper Club. I'm like, hi. I have a table for five. And she's like, are the other guests here? I was like, no, they're not yet. But they'll be here in a second. They're parking. Okay, you're going to have to wait here. So now I'm in the fucking vestibule area that's also freezing because I'm not where they are, where they had their little heater heating them. I'm on the other side that is getting the crosswind. And I'm just staring at these assholes. And I was about to big time them. I was about to do a little, do you know who I am? But I said, no, I'm going to... I want the people to know how commoners are treated at the Bangkok Supper Club. So eventually, my parents show up, and I'm like, my parents are here, but my brother is not. But do you mind if we go sit down at our table? And they look at us like, I'll take pity on the olds. Fine. So they fucking let us go sit at our table. I guess this is my issue with a lot of the IT restaurants in New York City that are...
I'm listening.
For lack of a better word, ethnic.
Okay.
They are so watered down and so meant to appeal to like boring, again, I hate to make this a race thing, but like boring white palates that they're just like, oh, this is the best. It's like I'm having Thai food, but I'm not surrounded by Thai people. And the food is just... The food is not challenging to me like most Thai food is. It's just like... fucking... It's bullshit, dude. It's like it has like a little fart of Thai. Like not full on. Just a little tiny wisp of spice. And it's like... It bothers me so much. And the prices were so fucking egregious.
Oh, no.
Like, how it much blew for... my mind how expensive this place was.
Was it $100 a person? Or
I got to around that. But it was like one of the appetizer things was like a bao bun with duck and foie gras. And I'm like, oh, cool. And it was like $32. And I was like, great. Okay. I'm imagining there's going to be four of these buns. And I'm like... Okay, can I get one of those for the table? And she goes, oh, there's only two of those per order. And I was like, oh. And she's like, yes, and they're only enough for one person. And I was like, what? I was like, can I order that anyway? Bro, it was like two fucking thimbles of a bao bun with like a tiny slice, like a prosciutto thin slice of duck breast.
Tell them why you're mad. Tell them why you're mad.
Dude, the slice of foie gras was so thin that they could have taken it off of a live goose and it still would have lived fine with that much liver missing.
He didn't need that anyway. He's like, that's just that part of my liver. You force feed me. I got a lot to go. That's nuts, dude. Okay, well, thank you.
Crazy.
Because I'm not going to do that then. I mean, yeah, there's, listen, the city is replete with these kind of restaurants. It's true. I will tip of the cap, of course, to Chinese Tuxedo, because at least they're down on Doyer Street. It's local people making good, and I like that. And, you know, I mean, am I a hero for it? Sure, those are your words. But it's just kind of like, otherwise, I think people need to know. And eventually, on a long enough timeline, it'll be revealed that this is just like, this kind of stuff is just like a dressed up TGI Fridays. Just a dressed up TGI Fridays, yeah. You know? It's like, you know, it's basically like you got a lot of memorabilia. You got a lot of things that demarcate that you're in someplace kind of exotic. And then you get like a proximity to the culture, but without having to immerse yourself completely in it. You know, you're not going to Jackson Heights. You're not going to Jackson Heights.
Right.
And I get it. I understand. You know, it's just like, but just be aware that that's not the real thing. It's just a simulation, you know, just a simulation rather than the IRL, you know? So, I mean, that's my thing. Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. And then on top of that, you pay more for the simulation than you do the real thing. That's my problem.
Way more. That's the issue. Yeah. I mean, mind you are in the West Village and I get that they have rent and whatever, but it's like, fuck me, man. And just be nice to people. Be nicer to people.
Oh, that.
I have another one. Unless are you ready to go for it? Can I reverse it on you?
I know you don't like when the servers are mean to you. You take it personally.
I'm a normal human being. I take it personally when someone's mean to me. I don't give a fuck if it's a server or a normal person or and anyone in real life.
I think
this is a broken record, but yeah, I do think servers get this fucking, they get this like pass from everyone. They're like, he must have had a bad day. It's like, yeah, he just whipped his dick out and slapped you in the face with it. He must have had an awful day for him to have done that. Let's give him 30%.
I'm just saying, did you ever see, you never saw the beginning of Reservoir Dogs? Where it's like, they're talking about tipping. Yeah, because they're talking about tipping. And they're like, don't you know waitresses make the worst amount of money of anybody? It's like, you know, it's like you get paid like what, $2.17, $5 an hour, plus you depend on tips. So I would say, yes, it would be in your best interest to act nicely. But like,
yeah, all the more reason. Wait, you're making my point for me. They are underpaid. They are underpaid, and to make up for that delta, they got to fucking be nice and smile.
Okay. Wow. Holy I'm never eating with you again. If people find out what you just said.
Jordan, I'm sorry, okay. But it's the same as for our careers. We don't get a pass if we had a bad day and have to go on stage. We have to fucking bring it no matter what, because that's what we are in the service industry. We're in the service of laughs. It's what we have to do. I'm sorry.
But this is Gen Z you're talking about, man. And Gen Z, they need a moment. They need a rest. They overcorrect because we never did. They overcorrect because we never did. You know what I'm saying? It's like we never did. We're like, suck it up. Knuckle it out. Hold on. Stick it back in.
Again, you're making my point for me.
No, okay? I'm not.
They get mental health days or whatever the fuck they call them. What are they? I need a mental health day.
Yes, a mental health day.
Yeah, they get mental health days.
Have you ever dared to take a mental health day?
My whole fucking life is a mental health day. Okay? No, we are of a different generation.
We truly are. Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Jordan.
Yeah.
What'd you eat?
Good question. Great question. The second place we went to after that, and it should only be two locations, we went up to a rooftop bar, and it was really cool. It was this place up near the UN, and it's on Beekman Place. God, what was it called? It was called Ophelia. Ophelia. It's a rooftop bar. Ophelia. It's in an old penthouse. And this place used to be like, it was like a dormitory for ladies back in the 1920s. And you would a single room occupancy, like the Amazon. Like it was crazy, dude. And
wow.
They had old ads about I want you to guess how much a one bedroom apartment was a week in 1920.
A week?
A week. I want you to guess.
I'm going to guess $1,000.
Back then? In the 1920s. In the 1920s. When it opened.
$100?
No. Way too.
How much?
$12.
What?
$12. Two if you wanted laundry done. Two more if you wanted laundry done. Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at pictures of this place. Yes. It's freaking stunning.
It is stunning. It's great. And
it's beautiful. It has that, like, the black and white checkerboard floors, beautiful Art Deco windows. Nice.
You know what? I really feel like Ophelia is a great place in that the cocktails are very good. The service is nice. Mm. The views are incredible. And it really, it definitely, to me, I was like, you know what? I live in a modern city. I live in a beautiful modern city. And what we forget sometimes about New York is one of its greatest assets is the skyline itself. It's so romantic, yeah. Sweeping and inspiring. And when I was having my Negroni, I got to see people banging a building or two over, you know?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Every time.
Wait, really?
Every time you go to like a rooftop restaurant, it's half the fun. You're seeing people like, just go at it, dude. Animals.
Amazing.
I mean, I was like, dude, they're definitely in the first few weeks. This is
this is the weirdest five-star Yelp review for Ophelia I've ever heard. Come for the drink, stay for the fucking.
I mean, there's a lot of that in the city. There's a lot of, you know, people that are putting on a show. Things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. You see a lot of it. And, you know, the rooftop, you might be, you catch a little bit of this, you catch a little bit of that. But the best part is the view, the drinks, the lights. As my wife pointed out, it's almost like a snowflake in that it's never going to be the same. You know, the pattern, the lights that are on in each building will be different. You know, you go another night, another kind of lights. It's like, and it's just a beautiful constellation. It lights it. Ophelia, I just highly recommend it. It's a good time. And there's even more space in the summer than there was in the winter, but there's blankets and things like that to curl up in and get cozy.
Mm.
That's my MO. Yeah. So that's what I was eating.
Great.
And drinking.
I've got one last one.
Go for it. Go for what you got.
Ask me.
Oh, Dan, here's a question.
Yeah.
What'd you eat?
So last week when I was in Vail,
you really
I
w- are putting
went to this when I was in Vail. I went to this restaurant called Montauk, which is a wonderful seafood place in Vail.
Good.
And I ordered the Chilean sea bass off of the menu. And it got me thinking of food rebrands because, you know, as the listeners, as long-time listeners probably know, Chilean sea bass, the real name of the fish is Patagonian toothfish. It wasn't moving off the shelves. No one wanted anything to do with the motherfucking toothfish. So they hired like an ad agency to rebrand this fish. And
really?
They pulled out of thin air the word Chilean sea bass. This bitch ain't even a sea bass. But they were like, Chilean sea bass, let's go. And the world went bonkers over Chilean sea bass to the point where it was like at the point of extinction. But they finally brought it back and now they're sustainable. Similar story with sablefish. Sablefish had a very tenement, Lower East Side sort of Jewy connotation. And they rebranded this and called it Black Cod.
Yeah. Oh,
and Black Cod. Black Cod is a fucking sablefish. Okay? So, and they changed the name to Black Cod. So, and then it started selling like gangbusters. And they charged like five times what the price was.
So you're saying this is the Ralph Lauren of fish. Because Ralph Lauren's real name is Ralph Lipschitz.
Exactly.
Okay. You got that. You're saying yes. Sometimes your government name does not work. Sometimes you have to change it.
Someone was like, guys, we got to get this sablefish out of the shtetl, okay?
Oh, God.
We need a new name. We need to get this out of the shtetl. This was it.
In this?
It was the...
In this climate, you're just going to... If I may. I did not know that. That is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of people like you know, like Cary Grant. Cary Grant, you know what his birth name is, right?
Ralph Lipschitz.
Archibald Leach. Archibald.
That's kind of a cool name. I'm into that.
But, you know,
seems like a lateral move to me.
You know who wasn't? Hal Warner. He's like, you need to change it to Cary Grant. They're like, get that crap name out of here. Cary Grant went on to name to great fame. You know, you got to like, no, that is fascinating.
Here's where I'm getting at, though.
What? Yeah. What's the point?
These rebrands are out there.
Okay.
It is happening in real time.
Okay.
There is an oil.
Oh boy.
On the shelves of your supermarket right now that you can find by the name Rapeseed Oil. Rape, not grape.
I think I've heard of, oil. Yeah, I've heard of this. Yeah.
Is a thing.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, if any food needed a rebrand, if anything could use a little freshening up, it's fucking rapeseed oil.
Yeah.
Okay, yet they stick with it? Who is the president of rapeseed oil who's like, granddaddy, I really think we need to change. No. My father called it rapeseed oil and my grandfather called it rapeseed oil. I'd be damned if I'm the one who changes the name rapeseed oil. He's got some like woke grandchild who like just graduated from Bates College and he's like, Grandpa, stop shaking, Grandpa. We don't need your tremors right now.
Oh,
it's not
my
good for
God.
You. Grandpa, please just listen to me.
That is so awful.
You gender bender grandkids don't understand tradition. No, Grandpa, it's not that. It's literally the word rape is in the oil, Granddaddy.
That's amazing.
There was no such thing as rape when we came up with this oil.
My God. You listen to me, Brock Turner Sr., about this. Okay. Oh, my God, dude. That's so scary. That's so scary.
Isn't that nuts?
Can I ask a question? If there's rapeseed oil, then there is rapeseed. What is rapeseed?
Okay, I just looked this up right now. This is in real time. I'm reading it to you. Rapeseed oil is produced from the seeds of the rape plant.
Why is it called
that? A yellow flowering plant belonging to the mustard or cabbage family. There are two main types of rapeseed oil, industrial and culinary. And I'm going to say consensual and non-consensual.
Jesus Christ.
Date?
Jesus Christ.
There's a rape plant.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
Why?
There's a plant called the rape plant. What's happening in horticulture?
Okay.
This is the other thing. Aren't all the wokesters like changing the names of birds, like with the Audubon Society and whatnot, and giving them like, has rapeseed oil?
You know what?
Untouched.
That does remind me of one other thing. Which is in, because things are so like esoteric, like you know, so many subcultures and things like that, like you know, culinary subculture. So rapeseed, no one even thinks about it. They're just like, whatever, I don't care. There's also in birding. I don't know if you know this or not, but a bird's overall looks, presentation, and coloring is called its jizz.
Oh boy,
J-I-Z-Z. If you look up videos about bird jizz, they're like, oh my God, this bird's jizz, it's got so much jizz. It's got jizz coming out of every pore.
Come on.
I swear to God. I'm gonna look it up. Hang on a second. Hang on. Birding jizz. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right.
This is going to be the first and last episode of What'd You Eat?
Yes. Jizz, impression of a bird, Wikipedia. If the internet is to be believed, jizz or jizz. I guess these people are like in a GIF versus GIF battle over jizz. It's the overall impression or appearance of a bird garnered from such features as shape, posture, flying style, or other habitual movements, size and coloration combined with voice and habitat. Let me tell you something, okay? These people. God. Live among us. They know the word. And yet they're like, look at that mallard just flinging that jizz. That's ropes. Ah, jizz. coming off that flamingo. Good Lord. Yeah, dude.
I think we're going to start a GoFundMe to get an ad agency to take on the both the jizz account and the rapeseed oil account. And to try to, this is our way of making a difference. We want to make a difference in the world.
Please do. You know, I feel like I need the world to know this, and they don't.
No, they don't. We're starting a Venmo account. Just give a dollar to at Rape Jizz.
Oh no, please God. There's even a running like identifying birds with jizz or jizz in ornithology.
Oh my God. Dude, we are unhinged right now. This is not good. Yeah. Normally,
rein it back the fuck in.
When there's two hosts, there's like the one person who like reins in the other person. You and I are like, it's like two Lennies from Of Mice and Men with no George to fucking tell us to not kill a rabbit.
Look, George has got to kill us anyway. So sorry to spoil the plot. I want to say something now, okay?
Yeah.
Ask me what I ate.
Jordan Carlos, what'd you eat?
Okay, I went back to an oldie but a goodie with my good lady. All right, and it turned out to be not so bad. Back in the day, I used to go over to Jeff's over on West 10th, and I guess it's Christopher. So
Jeff's is called?
Yeah, Jeff's or Jeffrey's, excuse me, Jeffrey's.
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's is by the same guy as Joseph Leonard and... Yes. Okay, Jeffrey's Grocery.
Grocery from Wisconsin. We went there. Solid meal. Solid meal. Mm. Sat right away. Let me tell you something, okay?
Gabe Steltman. I'm sorry. That's his name. Gabe Steltman. Gabe that's Steltman. The restaurateur.
Yes. Yeah. Gabe Steltman from Wisconsin, I believe. And in this age of just like heightened everything, I can tell you one thing that still works. You walk into a restaurant that's vanilla. You walk into a vanilla restaurant and you're an interracial couple. You're like, we don't have a reservation, but we like a seat. And we'd like it kind of like a nice. They'll hook you up because they want to. It looks good. It just looks good at the restaurant.
Your optics are very good.
Yes, the optics are great. They're really good. So they're always like, yeah, right away. Let me see what we can do for you. You know, so it's like other girls come in with vocal fry. They're like, what's the word? Like, get the fuck out of here. 6 hours. God. Leave us alone.
That is so good. That is so good. I should do that if I want to like, you know, go out with someone who's of a similar race as me. Rent someone of a different race, get the table, and then like swap. This could be a service. We just hello sharks. Have you ever tried to get a reservation and you're just a homogenous couple that's gonna have to wait 2 hours?
You've heard of back rent. This is called black rent. You just it'll only be for an hour or so. Yes.
In a very funny twist, why don't you ask me what I ate?
What'd you eat, man?
I'll tell you what I didn't eat. I didn't eat at Gabe Steltman's new restaurant in Brooklyn called Sailor.
Oh.
So okay. Sailor, I was in New York last week. I was in New York and Vail last week. But when I was in New York, one of the restaurants that I tried to go to with my good friend Dave Meklowitz, and I bring him up because Dave is like head of food at all of Discovery Network.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're telling me about him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And he basically stacks up all the... He's a very powerful food man.
Yes.
Again, we weren't pulling rank, though. And the chef at this restaurant is April Bloomfield, who used to be the Spotted Pig. And she has
a reputation.
Well, let me tell you something. That reputation did not follow her at Sailor because... And by the way, I consider her a friend-ish. Like, I DM'd her asking her for a reservation. She replied to me and said, when and how many people? And I told her, and then she just never saw the message.
Nice.
She asked me. But anyway, I told my buddy Dave, I was like, let's go at 5:30, put our name down. We'll go to a bar until our table's ready. Because it's the hot place in town.
It's for sure.
Yeah. Bro, we walked in. This has never happened to me. We walked in, and we were like, can we put our, you know... our names down. And she goes, honestly, there's no point. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, there's 30 people waiting. We're not going to get to you. Honestly, like, just, you should go somewhere else. And I was like shocked. I was like, I didn't even want to like rattle off, like, I used to work at the Spotted Pig. I used to, Green Eggs and Dan. She was not having it in that kind of annoying Brooklyn, you know, hipster way.
Yes.
And so we just left. We left. And
I'm sorry.
It was so crazy.
No, it's that kind of, you know, it's the cat energy. It's like you're walking into, you know, the restaurant energy they have in Brooklyn. You walk in. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, it's like you're walking into a teenager's room without knocking. Like, you're a place of business. Yes. Take our name. And we get, it's like a fucking open mic. When you get to my name, call me. What the fuck is the matter with you? It's a restaurant. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so true. They're like, what are you doing here? But I will tell you, we ended up going across the street to a restaurant called Colonia Verde.
Okay.
They couldn't have been nicer. And again, they had no idea who we were. We weren't pulling rank. They could not have been nicer. The food was fucking stellar.
Wow.
It was a warm environment. You know what they were doing, but right, just to bring it all around? They were doing sort of like elevated, like Latino food. I don't know. It was pretty general Latino. Like, they had stuff from everywhere. Like, there was panda queso on it. Yeah. There was like, you know, there was like Peruvian chicken. They were like grabbing from wherever.
All the hits.
And the food was really, so they were doing what Bangkok Supper Club was trying to do but couldn't do. It retained the like original, the OG kind of punchiness.
Yes. The constitution of it. Yeah.
Exactly. But they added their own little touches, and it was like beautiful space, good mezcal and wine program. I mean, and they were so cool and so eager to like, we showed interest in the mezcals. They just brought out all these things to have us taste. We had the best time. So, you know, until Sailor treats me good, until they done me dirty, I'm a Colonia Verde guy all the way.
Uh-oh. I got, see, that's what makes this so hard. Colonia Verde went out of business yesterday.
Oh, hey, Sailor people, if you're listening, just kidding. I'll wait. I'll show up at 3 o'clock and put my name down.
No, I mean, honestly, there's so many places like that in New York where it's like, it's the scene, it's everything like that. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is, baby. We love it. If there's no like DMV type line to get in, we don't trust it. There's a place in Brooklyn Heights called Apartment 4F that has $6-7 croissants, whatever it is. There's a place across the street from it that's just, it's been there for 30 years. That place is drying up like a prune. And Apartment 4F has a line down the block. You know what I'm saying? Like down the block every morning, people like lining up at 5 a.m. for the croissant, you know? So it's all about what's hot in these streets, dude. It's hard. You root for the little guy. But you know what's going to happen, dude. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but the truth is hype eventually ends, and then your reputation is how nice you are to people. Honestly, that's with any restaurant that stood the test of time. You could be dressed like a homeless person and walk into fucking Balthazar and you're going to be treated nicely.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they know service and they know that they don't want to be a flash in the pan. That was what bothered me, was her attitude. She could have said, "Listen, this is going to sound crazy, but the New York Times review just came out. We are so bombarded. We have 30 people here. Can I put your name down for a reservation on another day? We'd love for you to come." But it wasn't that. It was literally, she said the words, "Honestly, you might as well just go somewhere else." Okay. Well, that's not going to make me want to come back to your restaurant.
What you do at that moment is you take the little dais that she's on the podium, you throw it out the plate glass window. You say, "You're never going to forgive me." And that's it.
and then everyone leaves because they're scared, and you go take a seat and order food as you wait for the cops.
Like, I'm enjoying my meal. I don't know what your problem is. Yeah, I think that's good. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, man. Jordan, I think this is a perfect place to wind down. A wonderful inaugural episode.
Oh yeah.
Let us know what you think in the comments section. This is a new venture for us. I just realized I never get as excited and passionate and heated when I talk about food as I do when I talk with my BFF Jordan Cronin. I hope the listeners enjoy this as much as we do.
I love you, man. And I feel the same way. You definitely trigger something deep in me that I don't even think about these things. And you're like, tell me about your restaurant experiences. And the trauma that's unearthed is, it's extensive. It's extensive, Dan.
Oh, well, yeah. No. Listen, you are, yeah. I'll end it on a positive note. You're a beautiful tableau of a human being. Your brain, your outsides, your everything, it all contributes to your wonderful jizz.
Thank you.